I'm reading a passage of Scripture today from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38, in which our Lord said, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give under your bosom. For whatsoever measure you deal out to others, it shall be dealt to you in return." Now here's the title of my message: What the Bible Teaches About Giving. Now I want you to carefully listen to what I have to say on this subject today. What the Bible says, not what a denomination or a preacher or an organization teaches about giving, but what does God say about giving? Now, there's so much false teaching and poor preaching on the subject of giving that we need to take time out to find what God says on the subject of giving. What does the Bible say about giving? Now, most preaching on the subject of giving puts people under one of these false, sinful conditions or states. Now, here's the first one. Give because it's your duty to give. It's your duty to give. The average preacher preaches that every believer is under a law to tithe, that every believer is under a law to give 10% of all that they have to the church. You say, where do they find this? They go back to the old Levitical law, and they require men and women to tithe as the law required them to tithe. Yet they do not require them to be circumcised as the law required. They do not require them to keep the seventh day Sabbath as the law required. They do not require them to keep a Passover feast or the feast of the first fruits or the feast of the tabernacles as the Old Testament Levitical law required. They do not require them to go through certain purifications and sacrifices and other dietary laws, but they require them to tithe that the church budget might be met. But none of the apostles, not a one of the apostles in the 21 epistles of the New Testament, and I've written commentaries on every one of these epistles, verse by verse, and not a one of the apostles insisted on tithing or taught tithing to the early churches. Another motive that is used to get people to give, other than duty — it's your duty to give, it's your responsibility — is reward. We use this thing of rewards. In other words, if you'll give to a television preacher, or if you'll give to the church, then God will reward you. If you'll plant a seed of faith by giving to our particular organization, then God will give you a better job. Or God will give you a bigger home. Or God will prosper you materially. My friends, giving in order to get something in return is selfish, and it's contrary to grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to give and to lend, and here's the exact words He used: hoping for nothing in return, but to give motivated by love. To give and to lend to others for love's sake. I see the preachers always telling people to give, to send an offering, and they'll send them a certificate to put on the wall, or they'll send them a pin to wear in their lapel, or they'll send them some kind of badge, or they'll send them this or send them that. God's people do not give to get. They do not give in order to obtain a reward. They do not give in order to obtain a bigger house and a bigger car and a better job. That's not the scriptural motive for giving. That's contrary to the grace of God. We give because we love. And another motive that's used today to inspire people to give is fear. Fear. They use duty. It's your duty. Will a man rob God? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's the Levitical law, and they use it today to inspire people to give. They'll use reward, then they use fear. If you don't pay your tithe, God will punish you. If you don't pay your tithe, God will collect it through some tragedy or financial failure. If you pay your tithe, some bad things won't happen that would have happened, somebody said. And if you don't pay your tithe, some bad things will happen that would not have happened. If you don't give your tithe, God will take it out the door in a coffin. Now, that's awful poor reason to give. That's awful poor motivation to give, to put people under a state of fear. They only give to God to support the gospel, to help others because they're scared not to. That's contrary to grace. That's contrary to faith. That's contrary to love. Here's another motive that is used today to encourage people to give, and that's praise. We all know that people like to be praised. They like to see their name in print. They like to let others know that they're generous. So if you'll put their names in the bulletin or put their names on a board or call their names over the radio or call their names over the television, then they'll be glad to give. But they want some credit. They want a picture in the paper or credit of some way, in some way. But you know what the Master said? He condemns that kind of giving. He says that's giving to be seen of men. He said, when you pray, don't stand on the street corner and pray to be seen of men. If you do this, you have your reward. When men see you and when men brag on you, that's your reward. When you fast, wash your face and comb your hair that you appear not to fast unto me. God knows your heart. Fast in secret. And when you give, he said, don't sound a trumpet before you. Don't blow the horn and say, here I come with my gift. I'm going to give this. I'll raise my hand. I'll go on record, put my name on the bulletin board, put my name on a plaque, put my name on a pew, put my name on a window. I'm going to give to God. That's sinful. That's simple. He said, don't sound a trumpet before you when you do your alms. Don't give in order to get praise of men. When men praise you, that's all the reward you can expect. Giving out of duty because you'll get a reward or because of fear or to be seen of men is sinful giving. And it's contrary to the Word of God, and it's a denial of the very principles of grace. My friends, our prayer ought to be, Lord, teach me to pray. We need to learn from the Spirit of God how to pray, the things for which we should pray. We need to learn to pray unselfishly and for the glory of God. Not only that, but we need to cry out, Lord, teach me to believe. Deliver me from unbelief. Help my unbelief. Teach me to believe. All things are possible to them that believe. We need to cry, Lord, teach me to love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. But I'll tell you another thing we need to pray. Lord, teach me to give. How to give, what to give, when to give. To give for His glory and His praise. Now, I'm going to deal with this subject a little bit now, and if you're interested, just pull your chair up a little closer and listen carefully to what I say from the Word of God. Now, in the New Testament, two whole chapters are given to the subject of giving. Two whole chapters. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9 and some in 1 Corinthians 16 talks about giving. This thing of giving, how to give, how God would have us to give. And there's no reason for us to be in ignorance on the subject of giving. I'm going to give you this morning eight words, eight New Testament words, eight Bible words that define scriptural giving. The kind of giving that's well-pleasing to God. The kind of giving that's honoring to God. The kind of giving that is opposite from most of what's going on in this day, that's displeasing to God and not well-pleasing at all in His sight. Now, here's the first word. If you want to, write them down or take the Scriptures down anyway, and you'll see the words in the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says this, grace. Giving is a grace. Giving is a grace. Paul calls spiritual giving a grace. Here in 2 Corinthians 8:7, writing to the church at Corinth about giving and about helping others, Paul says this. Now he says, you are a church noted for your faith. You believe the Word of God. You believe Christ. You believe God. You're noted. You're known all over the world for your faith. He said, you're a church noted for your utterance, for your preaching of the Word of God, for your missionary work. You're a church noted for your knowledge of the doctrines, your knowledge of truth, your knowledge of Christ. You're a church noted for your diligence, for your love for the apostles and love for God's preachers. Now watch the next line. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. That's what he's talking about, giving. And he calls it a grace. He said you abound in faith, you abound in love, you abound in utterance, you abound in diligence, you abound in knowledge, and all these acts and works of grace. Well, giving is a grace too. Giving like faith is a grace. Giving like love is a grace. It's the mark and evidence of the grace of God in a man's heart. There's no such thing as a truly born-again, redeemed person who is not a giver. Men who have tasted the grace of God are gracious. Men with whom God has been merciful, they too are merciful. So the first word that defines giving in the New Testament is this. It's a grace. Giving is a grace that we learn from the Spirit of God. Secondly, the word love is used. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Now, he says, I speak not by commandment. In verse 7, he says, see that you abound in this grace of giving, as you abound in faith and love and utterance and knowledge. See that you abound in this grace of giving. Now he says, I'm not speaking by commandment. But he said to prove the sincerity of your love. You practice the grace of giving to prove the sincerity of what? Of your love. Paul says, I'm not ordering you to give. That would be contrary to grace. I'm not setting amounts for you to give. That would be commandment. I'm not setting times for you to give. Giving must be born of love, or it's a sin. And then in the next verse he said, for you know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. In other words, love led the Father to give Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave. And it was love that caused the Son to give himself, to empty himself, though he was rich, to become poor. What made him do that? Love for you and me. It was love that motivated him to give. And he said, this is the very thing. If you give scripturally and biblically and honoring to God and in a way that God is pleased with, then you'll do it motivated by love. Also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, that's not tithing. That's all I got. All my goods to feed the poor. And have not love, I'm wasting my time. It profiteth me nothing. All right, here's the third word. It's in 2 Corinthians 8:12. Still on this same subject, reading right down verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The word is willing. Willing. For if there be first, Paul said, a willing mind. Now you listen to me. A willing mind. It is accepted according to what a man hath and not according to what he hath not. A willing mind. God loves a cheerful giver. That which is given willingly and cheerfully, not required, not of necessity, not grudgingly, not out of responsibility, not because it's a duty, but willingly. I'm willing to give. I cheerfully give. And that's the only kind of gift that God will bless and that God will receive. And the amount is unimportant, totally unimportant. A man is not required to give what he doesn't have. Now, you listen carefully. And here's another error that's prevalent in our country in churches. That's this pledging business, signing pledge cards. Now, you listen to me. I know I'm crossing the grain, but I'll never sign a pledge card by the grace of God, and I'll never require anybody to sign one. I've been pastoring 35 years. You listen to the Scripture. There first must be a willing mind. It is accepted according to what a man has. What he has, not what he's going to have, not what he expects to have, not what he wants to have, what he has, and not according to what he has not. I'm not to promise what I don't have. I'm not to pledge what I don't have. I am to give in proportion as God has blessed me right now. I'm not to give something I don't have, nor am I to promise it. I don't know what a day will bring forth. I don't even go into town to say I'm going to town tomorrow without saying, the Lord willing, I'm going to town. I'm certainly not going to sign a card saying I'll be there. That's taking a lot for granted, isn't it? The word duty and tithe and debt and responsibility, these are not words used here, but the word is willingly, willingly. There first must be a willing mind motivated by love and grace. Now, these are New Testament words. And I challenge you to read the Word of God on this subject. Next word is the word proportion. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered you. Now, every good gift and perfect gift comes from God. What I have, God has given me. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? A man can receive nothing except it were given him from heaven. The Lord has blessed His people according to His will, according to God's own will. You have what you have by the will of God. Now, my gift to the church and to the gospel and to others is given in proportion or according as God has blessed me, according as God has enabled me to give. Those who have more, they want to give more. They have more to give. Those who have less, they give less. But we're not taxpayers. We're sons. We're stewards of the grace of God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:14. It says, some are not to be burdened while others are eased. But our giving is to be by equality, as God has blessed us. In other words, people who don't have as much, they're to give. People who have a great deal, they're to give more. We're to give in proportion as God has blessed us. We're stewards of God. You see, the things that I have, God has given me. He's entrusted into my care. I'm His son. I'm His steward. I want to be a good son and a good steward. I want to use the things that God has given me and with which He has blessed me to bless someone else, because it's God that gave it to me. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's His. Somebody said, well, 10% belongs to the Lord, 90% belongs to you. I beg your pardon, it all belongs to the Lord. None of it belongs to me. It's His. We're stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord's vineyard. It's the Lord's building. We're just servants. I like that story about the salesman who got on an airplane and sat down beside a believer, a man who knew the Lord. And the salesman struck up a conversation. He turned to the man, the believer, and he said, I'm in business with my father. And the believer said, well, I am too. And the salesman said, well, my father and I are in the jewelry business. The believer said, well, we are too. The Scripture talks about making up his jewels. And the salesman said, we only deal in the best jewels. And the believer said, well, we do too. And the salesman said, well, my father trusts me with a lot of his business. And the believer said, my father trusts me with a lot of his business. And the salesman said, well, I'm on my way now to a meeting with my father. And the believer said, well, I am too. And the salesman said, well, I sure hope I can give a good account of how I've conducted my father's business. And the believer said, well, I do too. Have you given a good account of that with which God has entrusted you? For it's His. And we give in proportion as He's blessed us. Now, here's another word, the word everyone. Did you see that when I was reading 1 Corinthians 16:2? Upon the first day of the week, let everyone, not just the rich man, but the poor man, not just the men, but the women, not just the older folks, but the children. Every believer is a giver. Every believer has something to share. It doesn't matter who it is. The amount is unimportant. Our Lord stood and watched people giving there at the treasury that time, you know, and people came by giving their gifts. Finally, a widow lady came by and put, what was it, 2 coins. And the Lord said, she has given more than all of them because she gave all that she had. So you see, God owns all things, and the amount of the gift is not important. Giving is born of love and recognizes God's sovereignty over all things and my gratitude to Him and my love for others and my concern for their well-being. And then here's another word, liberally. Liberally. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Now, what Paul has in mind here is a farmer. A farmer. He that soweth, sowing seed. And if he sows sparingly, that just makes sense. If a farmer has some seed in his hand, well, it'll never ripen in his hand. It'll never produce anything in his hand. It's got to be sown in the ground. And if he just sows a little bit, he'll reap a little bit. If he sows abundantly, he'll reap abundantly. He's got to sow with an open hand. He's got to turn it loose. He's got to commit it to the ground. He's got to trust God. He can't have the seed and sow it at the same time. But if he doesn't turn it loose and sow it, he's not going to reap. So he sows in faith. And he's willing to cast it on the ground, knowing that his Father is the Lord of the harvest. And that's what he's saying here. He that soweth sparingly, he'll reap the same way, sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully, he'll reap bountifully. And every man, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not holding on to it, but and not of necessity, not because he has to. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now that verse of Scripture I just read, did you notice a word that I was reading there in 2 Corinthians 9:6? Let's look at it again. Listen to that verse. It says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let everyone give as he purposes in his heart. Now, listen to me. If tithing is required, then why should I purpose in my heart? It's already written down. I don't have anything to purpose. I don't have anything to say about it. I don't have anything to conclude. It says 10%. There it is. I don't have any purposing of heart to do it. But this is the way our Lord says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He said, let every man give as he purposes in his heart, as he's led by the Holy Spirit. When Ananias brought that money, he and his wife, to the Apostle Peter and laid it down at the Apostle's feet, Peter said, Ananias, what in the world entered your heart to cause you to lie to the Holy Spirit? He said, when you owned that property, was it not yours? You didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to bring the money here. But what you've done, you sold it and brought the money and lied about it in order to get praise and recognition. So here's the thing. I'm not to tell you what to give. It's yours as God's provided it. You are to be led by the Holy Spirit and give as you purpose and determine in your own heart about this matter. Let every one of you give as he purposes in his heart. And I'll tell you this, a man's gifts will be determined by the amount of grace and love he has in his heart for the Lord and for others. And the grace and kindness and love that God's given him, that is in, he purposes in his heart, that purpose will be determined by that grace and that love which God has given to him. Now here's the last word. Let us give as unto the Lord. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said this to these people at the judgment. He said, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. They said, Lord, when we ever see you hungry and thirsty and weary and in prison? He said, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these my brethren, you did it not to me. And then to the believers, he said, well, I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me and naked and you clothed me. And they said, when we see you that way? He said, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So this is a lesson to learn in all that we do. It's not, see, we do things for others, but indirectly, we're doing it for Christ's sake. We're doing it because we love him. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Our giving is for his glory and as unto the Lord. It's not for the praise of me. It's like you men out there on the job. Work hard. Give a full day's labor. Do your best. Not to apple polish or to please men, but as unto the Lord. As though you work for God himself. And you really do. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. God Almighty. That's what the New Testament teaches about giving. I challenge you to get this tape and listen to it again and give it to your friends. Send $2 and we'll mail you the tape. What does the Bible say about giving? There'll be another sermon on the other side. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.